Open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. I'm gonna cover the whole chapter. All right. While I'm doing it, I'm gonna do it fast. I'm gonna do it quickly. I'm gonna hit some main points. And I want you guys to follow along. Chapter 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is Christ." Some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks and not a few of leading women joined Paul and his company. Jesus began to tell them about Christ. He began to tell them about the Messiah. He began to tell them that Jesus was the Messiah. He began to explain to them. He explained to them and demonstrated to them from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Christ because he was dead, he was buried, and he rose again. That's the message of today. That's the message of Acts chapter 17. He went to the synagogue there, and he preached for 3 days. For three Sundays. So he was there 2.5-3 weeks, something like that. And then many of the people were persuaded. Many of them followed after him, and he got ran off. Some of the Jews who had believed. Some of the Jews who had not believed became envious of him, and they were afraid that he was going to take some there. So they got after him. They went after him. They ran him off, ran him to Berea, which is, 30 miles or so away. And you can look in your maps in the back of your Bible, and you can get an idea of where they went. So from Thessalonica, they went to Berea. And then, chapter 10, verse 10, then as the brethren themselves, immediately Paul and Silas at by night away, let me just start over. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. They were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, searched the Scriptures, and found out whether these things were so. Let me back up a minute. When they became envious of Paul and Silas, and they arrested, didn't arrest them because they couldn't find them, but they arrested the guy named Jason and some of the other believers, and they drugged them to the magistrates, and they said, "Those who have turned the world upside down have come here with their doctrine. These people who are changing the world, these people who are turning the world upside down, have come to us now with their doctrine." And this is what they were saying: "Jason has harbored them, and these all are acting contrary to decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus." King Jesus. Another king, Jesus. John chapter 18, 37, that 36, back and forth between Pilate and Jesus, and "Are you a king? Are you really a king?" And finally he says, let me just read it. Pilate said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered and said, "That I am a king. For this cause I was born." He said, "You rightly say that I am a king. You rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born." Pilate had correctly stated that Jesus was a king. In Revelation 1, 5, let me read that one. Get over there through that. And Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn born from the dead, and the ruler over all kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins. You remember when the Magi came to Herod by night, they asked, where is he who's born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east. He is a king. Now they got run over, they got run out of town for all of that, and they came to Berea. And a lot of churches, a lot of old churches, they have the Berean Sunday school class. I'm surprised this one doesn't. But Berea is they were a model. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures to find out if it was true. They received the word with readiness. They received the word with a mindset that they were going to search the scriptures and check it out to see if it was true. You know what? You ought to search the scriptures to see if what I'm telling you is true. You ought to not just take my word for it. You ought to search the script. Now, I wouldn't lie to you, but you ought to check it out. You ought to check me out. For instance, I said that Jesus was a king. You ought to check that out. That ought to be something you say, I need to check that out. You know, Jesus only said it one time, two times. He only said it once. He only said it there in his contemplation, in his back and forth with Pilate. He was a king. Jesus was a king, though. He was a king of a different kind. He was a king of another kind. He was another king. He was a king that was out of this world. But that ought to be something that you ought to check out for yourself on your own and for yourself. Jesus was a king. So I want to get down now to the meat of the message. Paul waited for them in Athens. He got to Athens. First of all, let me tell you why he left Berea. The guys from Thessalonica came down there. The guys from Thessalonica heard about him down there, and they got news, and they came for him, and they were hot on him. They were mad at him. They were after him in Thessalonica, and then they got after him in Berea. And so they came down there. And so then Paul got on a ship, set sail for Athens. And while he waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. It was a city they were given over to idols. They worshiped anything and everything. And when they get to... it's troubled Paul's spirit. It's troubled him up. It stirred him up. And they had altars built. You know, we see the altars, the great Greek altars, the great Greek gods. We see them. We say, oh, that's beautiful art. That's beautiful art. That wasn't art to them. That was gods. That was their gods. And they saw them and they worshiped them and they worshiped all of them. They had so many different gods, and they were afraid they might miss out on one. And so they made the tomb to the unknown God. And Paul said, I'm going to start right here. I'm going to start right here, and I'm going to tell them about this unborn God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, am I proclaimed to you, that's in verse 23, to the unknown gods. Declare to them God, the creator of the universe, God who made heavens and the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. He is a creator of all things. That means he's the creator of you, and he's the creator of me. He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. We don't have to go to temples to find him. He wants you. He made you. He put eternity into your hearts, and he wants you to know him. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you. He made you. He is the creator. He's also the sustainer of life. Verse 25, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives life and breath to all things. God doesn't need us. I don't add anything to God. I don't add anything to who he is or to anything to his gospel message. It says he gives life and breath to all things. He is a sustainer of life. He is, your life is in God's hands. God could, and you'd be gone. He can, and you're still here. He can do whatever he wants to do with you and with your life. He's a creator. He's a sustainer of all things. He is a creator and he is a sustainer. Sustainer. I just want to say sustainer. He's a sustainer of all things. He's a sustainer of all things. He is also sovereign. Verse 26. He is made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth and determine their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. Now you see that? I mean, do you really see that scripture? It says that God has determined when every man would be alive, what country he would be a part of. He has determined his boundaries and everything. He has determined his appointed times. God has decided when you would live. God has decided that you would be in America, that you would be in America. God has decided all that. He's sovereign. In his sovereignty, God is looking for you. God is looking for you. Verse 27, so that they should seek the Lord. Why did he put men where they were? Why did he put men when they were? Why did he put men at any time, at any place on this earth? He did it so that men would seek him, should seek the Lord, and in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. I believe, I know I've preached from this before, and just the idea of getting up in the middle of the night and you're kind of, you don't want to turn on the light, you don't want to, of course some of you don't care, you just flip it on. You're just groping around and feeling around and trying to feel, and that's the way we are. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to grope for him, to feel for him, to try to find him. He wants us to seek him out and seek him out on a daily basis. Do you want to know what God wants from you? He wants you to seek him. He wants you to seek him. We live our lives. We seek after so many things, and we say we seek after God, but we don't. We don't. We really don't. He wants us to seek him out and to feel after him, because he's right there. Verse 27, though he is not far from each one of us. He's not far. He's right here. He's in our hearts. He's in our minds. He's right here. We've just got to seek him. Will you seek him? For real. Would you seek him? It doesn't have anything to do with me. It doesn't have anything to do with the church. It doesn't have anything to do with, you could have been here. You maybe have been here 40 years and right now you're not seeking him. Maybe you're a guest with us today and right now you're not seeking him. And all in between and right now you're not seeking him. You see, it's in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring, for it's in him we live and move and have our being. It's in Christ that we live. It's in Christ that we have our being. It's in Christ that we are alive. It's in Christ. He wants us to seek him. He wants, that's it. That's it. That's really it. He wants us to seek him. I could ask you to do hundreds of other things and you'll do it. I'm asking you to seek him. To seek him. Be like the Bereans. Search him out in the scriptures and find out if it's true. And then the grace of God, true of these times of ignorance, God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. To repent. He commands all men everywhere to repent. He overlooked some of these things in ignorance, and he now, Christ has come. He's dead, buried, rose again. He commands all things. He commands all men everywhere to repent. You've got to stop going this way, and you've got to turn around and start going this way. You've got to stop following yourselves. You've got to stop doing what makes you feel good, and you've got to start following God and following Christ. And yes, it's difficult, but we've got to follow him. We've got to follow him in our lives. We've got to follow him with our future. We've got to follow him all the days of our lives. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. By raising him from the dead, this Christ, John chapter 6 says he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Of sin, I can't remember what the key one is, righteousness. Of righteousness, because I leave you and I go see my Father and you see me no more. Of righteousness, he will judge the world in righteousness by the Holy Spirit. And that righteousness is because God raised him from the dead in righteousness. You see, Jesus is the one who came back from the dead. You see, is the one who loves us. He is the one who will judge us. He is the one whom we seek. He is the one. He is the one. Jesus, the Christ. Stand up with me if you would. We all kind of choked up today, didn't we? Christ Jesus came to cleanse us of our sins. He died, he buried, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. Today's the day. Today is the day for you to receive him. Today is the day for you to make him part of your life. How deep the Father's love.